You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Welcome to the latest episode of the European Tour Race to Dubai show as Rory McIlroy ends an emotional week with a remarkable victory at the BMW PGA Championship.
Delighted to get the win here at Wentworth, the flagship event for the European Tour, a tour that's been so good to me over the years. It's been a great week all around.
The two-time major winner came from seven shots behind to claim a first European Tour victory for 2 years. Shane Lowry was runner-up, whilst Thomas Bjorn could only manage third after blowing a six-shot lead.
It's obviously a disappointment when you come off the golf course like this. Just didn't get it right today, and that's the way it is. Sometimes it's disappointing, but you know, we kick on from here.
All the news and best reaction from Wentworth to come. Plus, we look ahead to this week's event on the European Tour, the Nordea Masters in Sweden. I'm Dan Roebuck, and it's a warm welcome to Rob Lee. Rob, how are you doing?
Good day to you, Dan. Very good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, sir. Have we ever seen such a dramatic and eventful final day at the PGA Championship? Terrific day at Wentworth.
Yeah, hard to remember a better one than that. It really was nail-biting stuff. You know, we had big leads that were blown, then we had other people taking over and making headway and looking like they were going to win, i.e. Thomas Bjorn, the blower, and then Shane Lowry looking very good, going into the back nine. But in the end, it was McIlroy's day, McIlroy's week, and it's been coming for a few weeks now, this sort of quality of win, and McIlroy must be over the moon.
Ahead of the 4 days at Wentworth, though, he was playing down his chances. He was explaining to the press what was going on off the fairways and suggesting that it might affect his golf. In the end, was the golf course's sanctuary a little bit, do you think?
I'm a great believer that all bets are off. Once you get onto the golf course, all the other stuff you can compartmentalise. I'm a great believer in that. I've seen it many times before, and I didn't think Rory breaking up with his fiancée. It's really all about your game. Let's say you're playing badly and life is going well for you. You don't play better all of a sudden. And I think the reverse is true. You get on that golf course, and golf is such a difficult game, and there are so many facets to it, and you've got to concentrate to produce the complete product on everything. It kind of enables you to block everything else out, and Rory got down to business.
He kept his head while others were losing theirs, because the story of the final round... the story of the final round has to start with Thomas Bjorn, because he was huge odds on to win.
And a great start for Thomas. You know, a few pars and a birdie at the fourth. He was even further in. I think he got five in front then, six in front
six
maybe.
In front.
You would have thought that Thomas, with 14 holes to play in a six-shot lead, would probably go ahead and win. One bad hole killed him. He made a triple at the sixth. You know, then all of a sudden, there were others that had started well that were coming into the frame. And then he was defending, of course. Then it was tough for Thomas Bjorn. He stayed in touch. He stayed so much in touch that he even had a chance at the end. It could have happened for him, but it didn't quite.
It was McIlroy that went on to win, and it was a dramatic end to an emotional few days for the Northern Irishman.
It's been a difficult week in some ways, but it's been a great week in others, and you know, I played really good golf, you know, throughout the 4 days, and you know, it just seemed like today it was meant to be. You know, the guys ahead of me were making mistakes. I took advantage of that. You know, even on the back nine, you know, I was a couple behind going, you know, playing the last few holes, and Shane made a couple of mistakes, and I was able to birdie the last two. And it just seemed like it was sort of meant to be.
Particularly, presumably, early on when you have that part that just didn't want to drop, just about to walk after it, and you did, eagle.
Honestly, I thought it was going to miss 3 inches left, and then it came back, and then sitting on the lip, and there was a gust of wind, and you know, it was finally toppled in. So it was a bonus that I was able to make eagle there in four, and that really kick-started the round, because that was the best start that I got off to the whole week. You know, I was either one or two over through three, and you know, was always playing catch-up, but you know, to get two under through four early was good for me. Started the back nine with a lot of momentum with the chip in on 10. Missed from sort of 4 or 5 feet on 11 for birdie, and then good putt on 12. I got up and down from the bunker. And then 13 is more of a bonus birdie, you know, it's not one that you expect to birdie. And then the up and down on 14 was huge. Three up and downs to finish, and my short game was really tidy today, and that really helped.
Were you totally conscious of what happened with Thomas Bjorn, Luke Donald, and particularly Shane Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, I knew walking off the 11th tee box, I looked at back at the scoreboard, you know, back nine, you sort of want to know where you are. I saw that Thomas, you know, went back to like 12 under par, 11 under par, and Shane was around there, and at that point I was 10 under, so I'm thinking, you know, if I can make a few birdies on the way home here, I can at least post the number and give them something to think about. But to birdie four of the last eight was huge, and you know, was able to post a number that was good enough to win.
I appreciate you've won at the very highest level, but this is the European Tour's flagship event. It's quite something to have your name in the brackets, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I didn't know if I'd ever win it, because I'd struggled here in the past, but the conditions, you know, suited me. It favoured me with it being soft and wet, and golf course played a little longer, so that played into my hands. And delighted to get the win here at Wentworth. and you know, the flagship event for the European Tour, a tour that's been so good to me over the years. You know, going back as an amateur, giving me invites and you know, letting me get that experience to come out here now and win these big events. So it's been a great week all around.
Rubber stamps a position in the Ryder Cup. It means onto the US Open in excellent, confident form.
Yeah, everything. You know, Ryder Cup should be pretty much secured now, I hope. And if not, you know, Captain McGinley might be nice to me and give me a pick. But yeah, Ryder Cup, great for, you know, world ranking points, race to Dubai, all that sort of stuff. So it's a great springboard for the rest of the year.
You know, in Rory's youth, he's only 25, but when he was very, very young, he once came out and said that the Ryder Cup was an exhibition match. Well, he kind of got a point, but that...
He's played in a few now, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he now knows what Ryder Cup is all about, and he'll be licking his chops to go and play against the Americans in September, no doubt about that.
Strange week for him, though, really, because he did put the pressure on to a certain extent about his game, as we mentioned, but he's come through it, and it's a massive springboard now to the remainder of the season, to the next major that comes up in the not-too-distant future.
A few people used to say about Rory that, you know, when he was on, when he was playing like a Rolls-Royce, he was untouchable. But when he was not quite on top of his game, could he dig in and create something when it wasn't just happening for him? And I think this week at Wentworth, he's had great form. He's had a bunch of top tens, even from the cut line. You know, he scraped through the cut in America last few weeks and then come forward at the weekend, had a fantastic weekend and finished top 10. But he hadn't had the four good rounds altogether. And even in this tournament, there were times where he was under threat in round two. He finished very strongly in what was a difficult day. Round three starts with a double bogey. To see Rory dig in like that and win pretty much our biggest event on the European Tour by the majors was absolutely fantastic. So not only is it good for Europe, good for golf, it's good for Rory McIlroy. You know, he'll be back to defend next year. That's another brilliant fillip for the European Tour. Rory will want to come back and defend that.
Well, it was McIlroy's sixth European Tour international schedule victory in his 134th European Tour event. His first European Tour victory since the 2012 DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, and his first European Tour victory in England and first on European soil. He becomes only the second Irishman to win the championship and first since Harry Bradshaw in 1958. It's his 12th overall victory. As a professional, we touched upon Thomas Bjorn before. He's having a good year. Good last 18 months, you'd suggest. But what went wrong, do you think? Because he played so well back nine on the Saturday to take the momentum into the Sunday. You thought that, well, it was his event to lose. What do you think went wrong with Thomas?
With Thomas, he had two marvellous rounds and two so-so rounds. 62 on Thursday around that golf course. I can't tell you what a good score that is. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. He was 10 under after one round. It's level par round two, 67 round three, 15 under par. It's a brilliant total. And he just didn't have a good final day. Very difficult, you know, when you go out with a one-shot lead, you kind of feel from the get-go that you've got to have your best game. But when you've got a five-shot lead, you sort of play looking over your shoulder. How am I doing? It's hard to defend a big lead sometimes. It's actually harder, I think, at times to do that than go out with a one-shot lead because your mentality is different.
Let's hear from the Dane after his dramatic turn in fortune.
It's obviously a disappointment when you come off the golf course like this. Just didn't get it right today and, you know, made a massive judgment there on the six and that kind of led everybody back into the frame and I kind of knew that if I shot 72 today it was going to be very difficult to deal with. And then all of a sudden the game plan changed and to be honest I thought I played... From tee to green, I thought it was pretty solid and good today. I've put it awful for long ways and 14 and 15, where I still had a good chance, just kind of didn't do me any favours. So that's the way it is. Sometimes it's disappointing, but you know, we kick on from here. And it's nice to see Rory come in and do what he does best. And, you know, we just got to try and learn from it and not get too down on it. You know, I knew I could shoot 72 and probably win the golf tournament, but I didn't.
You know, this game is just as mad as this. I bumped into him. He had a poor first round in Spain. And I bumped into him on the way to him teeing it up for round two. And I said, how are you playing? He said, oh, I'm playing so bad. So bad. It's just horrible. And he missed the cut. And then he comes here and he shoots 62. Thomas Bjorn will bounce back from this. And in the whole picture, he's going to go from being a vice-captain to a playing member by right of the next Ryder Cup team. That in itself is fantastic.
Another player that briefly held the leads during the final round was Shane Lowry. The Irishman was 3 clear, in fact, when he started the back nine with a hat-trick of birdies, but he drove into trouble on the 13th. He ran up a double bogey six that obviously affected him, but all in all, he'll take plenty from the week, I would have thought.
Shane is a really good player. I really think he's a strong strong, strong player. And he's had a, for what for him has been a poor year. There were signs last week in Spain that Shane was starting to get it together. And, you know, he very nearly won here. And he finished second on his own. Big, big check. He can take a lot of confidence from this. Anytime you just get pipped by Rory, you haven't done too badly. And you know, another day, Shane Lowry could have been the champion.
Strange, isn't it? Because we mentioned that 13th, a double bogey. We talked about a 7 for Thomas Bjorn. There were some big numbers out there at Wentworth, wasn't there?
Wentworth is, you know, you just can't switch off around there. That's the thing. Thomas makes 7 at the 6th, which is not among the toughest holes. 13 is among the toughest par 4s in the golf course, where Shane Lowry came undone. But actually, any of the holes, even 16, 17 or 18, you could make a real Horlicks of that and you can run up a score on traditionally what is a little chance of making a few birdies coming in. But 16, such a tough green now. 17, it's not a gift for either. We saw how difficult it was to chip the ball close there yesterday. And 18, if you go for it, you can hit it in the water. So it's become a very sporty finish to the course.
It was the 13th, of course, that Lowry won't have happy memories of. Here's how the 27-year-old reflected on coming so close to the win.
I feel very unlucky. I felt like I hit some great shots coming in, and like I hit probably best 5-iron of my whole year to 15 and ended up making bogey, which was a bit annoying, especially after bouncing back from the double with a birdie, you know, and the double bogey as well. I know I hit a poor tee shot, but it was probably the only bush like that on the course. You know, I found myself in it and was always struggling from there, but obviously to hold the putt in the last and finish second on my own is, you know, it's really nice. It's after giving me a lot of world ranking points and a lot of rest of the boy points as well.
Indeed, he managed to grab birdie on the last to finish with a flourish. And although he didn't win, for a player like Lowry, as we say, he will take positives out of the week.
He will. I think Shane's an underrated player. All but just a couple of little nuances, he could have been the champion there. So he can be very proud of his performance. And I think the pleasing thing for someone like Shane is that at last, the year feels like it's got going. Now is the time to be playing well. Golf can be very exciting as you move into, you know, the big events in the lead up to the US Open and the Open Championship and forward from there.
Well, Luke Donald was my tip for Wentworth last week. He was going for his 3rd win in 4 years. He narrowly missed out, finishing in a tie for 3rd, but he seemed content with his week's work.
Very positive week. I know some tough conditions out there this week with some wind and rain and all sorts, but a lot of positives. Obviously, I'd love to take that 6th hole back, as would Thomas, but I was proud of the way I came back and fought back after that to be 5 under for the last 12, and, you know, gave it a shot at the last. It came up about a couple feet short, but, you know, happy with Ferrari. He's obviously been going through a tough time, and it's nice to see him win again.
Well, 2 chip-ins on the back 9 as well. You might have thought there was destiny on your side.
I had some good support behind me, and you know, I tried my hardest to make it at least give myself a chance. And it was fun to hold a couple shots in front of these crowds. They've been wonderful all week, and it's a pleasure to play in front of them.
Luke Donald, who's changed management, changed coach, changed
Chuck
swing.
Chuck Cook now. Chuck Cook's on the swing, yeah.
What do we think?
Duffner's coach, who lost out in the playoff in America.
Of course, yeah. What do we make of Luke at the moment? Is he getting back to that dominant best that we saw a few years ago?
Will Luke get back to world number one? I'm not sure. But will he actually hit the ball better and play some better golf? I think he might. I really like what he's doing with his swing. He's going to be playing golf from the fairway a lot more than he was. That was his big nemesis. That was the flaw in the game. And you can say, yes, how can you criticise a guy that went to world number one?
Lots of people would say, why on earth change?
I mean, he had a phenomenal year with the putter, 18 months with the putter. Like, every 25-footer he had, he made. And he's brave, Luke. You know, if he gets a chance, he'll dig it out. But I think he did recognise that week in, week out, if you want to win a major, if you want to push your game to its very, very, you know, extreme limits, you've got to play from the fairway more. And I think he has recognised that. So much so, you know, he's gone for a change, a significant change. You know, he's still working on it, but he's getting there. And I see him hitting a lot more tee shots that get him down the fairway. And if Luke is down the fairway with the way he can tidy up around the greens, he might just have made the right move to nick him a major somewhere. He's been world number one, but in the end, if you're a great player, you're measured by major championships. And Luke, if he's playing from the fairway, can do it.
Well, we've heard from the main contenders, but let's find out a bit more about the leading PGA Pro at Wentworth. England's Mark Hooper was the only PGA Pro to make the cut and was on the green with Rory for the presentation. I'm delighted to say that Mark joins us now. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, great, thanks.
And how was your week at Wentworth? That must have been something special.
Yeah, it was. Bit of a dream, really. Woke up this morning, all feels very strange, really, the kind of week that I had. But, yeah, loved every minute of it.
What does life feel for you now? How does it feel? Does it feel like now you've had a little taste of that this is the thing you're going to try and concentrate on?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've kind of half dabbled at playing over the years, but with a family, I've kind of had to go down the teaching route and stuff. So maybe it'll open a few doors for me. It's really what I'm hoping now. And it's kind of showed me that that maybe, you know, I might have the ability to maybe push on a little bit further. So kind of see where it'll go.
What's it like playing with the likes of Peter Hansen and Justin Rose?
Yeah, it was brilliant. And
they're rubbish, aren't they?
I think what was nice is just how they, you know, Justin, it's almost like he was trying to make me have a nice day as well, which, you know, just shows what a class guy is. So, you know, that was phenomenal, really. Peter Hansen, great ball strikers. Anthony Wall played brilliant with me as well. I think he may have shot 3-4 under or something like that. So it was great watching them hit it and play. Quite surprising how far they hit it, actually. So, yeah, it really was a great experience.
And what about the crowds, you know, being at Wentworth with what is one of our best attended events of the whole year?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was quite funny because Justin Rose laughed yesterday and said, you know, that he was supposed to be the local pro. But it was the way the crowds, because I had a few friends started the hoops chant, it just got louder and louder. It was so funny. By Sunday, I mean, Justin was even doing it on the greens.
You had four busloads turn up.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What was it like being on the green with Rory?
It was quite strange because I was standing there, you know, I was more nervous about the presentation than I was playing. It was quite strange. But yeah, I was just standing there looking out at the presentation, and then Rory just comes to next to me, which is the kind of guys that I look up to. It's been so strange, you know, being involved with them this week.
Did he ask for your autograph?
Hey, Rory?
Yeah.
No, he didn't do that. No, just, he said, shook my hand, said, well played. And I congratulated him on how well he did. You know, amazing achievement for him. So, yeah, congratulating him on that as well.
Well done, Mark, for your playing at Wentworth, and we wish you the very best in the future.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, it's been a busy week for the European Tour, and it began with the glitzy European Tour Awards on Tuesday last week. I didn't manage to get an invite, but Rob, you did.
I did. I was there, yeah. It was a very, very good night. You know, all the top players turned out and spoke very well. Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson went up on stage. He was very good. And we had some Ryder Cup chat on the stage. They acquitted themselves very well. It's a good night. It's a good night, the Players' Awards.
And Stenson, a worthy winner, obviously, of the Players' Player of the Year Award.
Well, Henrik Stenson said something really funny, because he said, I had an unbelievable second half to the year last year, which he did, to win everything in Europe and then to win the FedEx as well in America. It's been phenomenal. He said, the $10 million is nice, he said, but it won't change my life, which everyone sort of went, well, it'll change mine. Tell you what, it changed mine.
There was a new award this week, the Challenge Tour Graduate of the Year, and that went to Justin Walters, as he was the highest finisher on last season's Race to Dubai, who'd graduated at the end of the previous year. Our man Nick Dye caught up with him last week.
It's quite an honour, I must say, to be the very first guy to get the recognition from the tour itself and other people. It makes you feel that much better. I can't reiterate enough how honoured I feel to receive this award. I was on the range earlier in the week, and even Ernie Els came up and introduced himself. And I said, Ernie, you don't need to introduce yourself. I know who you are. He said, yeah, I know, but I want you to know that I know who you are. Things like that just add up. Certainly awards like this just, you know, it all adds up to something very special for me.
And it's a special tour, the Challenge Tour. We talked about Thomas Bjorn, of course, when it came to his unfortunate failings at Wentworth, but we know he's a multiple tour winner. Martin Keimer played on the Challenge Tour. Mm. Justin Rose had a season on the Challenge Tour.
I played in the Challenge Tour.
Robert Lee played the Challenge Tour.
Yes, I had a season out there. I tell you what, I had a season out there in 1996, and it's super competitive. I mean, it's a grind. It really is. If you get onto the Challenge Tour as a relatively new player, then I think it's the best education you can get, because you get the travelling thing, you go to some bizarre exotic locations to play the Challenge Tour, and it's hard. You can't really make any money. You can't make any headway. The big prize is the ticket to the European Tour, and that is the thing that inspires you and makes you concentrate for an entire season.
Tips and top tens next, Rob. Tips, first of all. Collectively, we got first and third. You managed to get the winner.
You went with the royal we there,
didn't
you? I did
go with the royal we. You went for Rory McIlroy.
I think ultimately tipping is all about winning, and I managed to... do you know, I picked Rory McIlroy quite simply because he just hasn't had four good rounds yet. And my goodness me, didn't he kick on that final round? He was absolutely brilliant. So I went for Rory McIlroy, and he won, again, on a course that he'd never done well on, so it wasn't an obvious one. And you went for Luke Donald, who'd already won twice around there, and you finished third. Well done. Yeah, well done. Now, that's the nasty bit over with. Let's have a look at the top tens. So, from the top, Rory McIlroy, he wins, obviously, beating Shane Lowry, who finished second on his own. And then there was a tie for third spot between Thomas Bjorn and Luke Donald. Fifth was Simon Dyson, and Stephen Gallagher, and then tied seventh through to that 10 mark, Thomas Aiken, Pablo Larrazábal, Francesco Molinari, Marcel Siem, and Henrik Stenson, who just narrowly missed out on being the new world number one, by the way, because of what Adam Scott did at the Colonial.
What about the race to Dubai top 10?
So the race to Dubai, and that's a big, big move for Rory McIlroy. It's a big prize money event, and so it should be. Thomas Bjorn still leads the way. Rory McIlroy second. Jamie Donaldson third. Fourth is Louis Oosthuizen. Miguel Angel Jimenez is fifth. Then it's Sergio Garcia in sixth. Victor Dubuisson seven. Stephen Gallagher eight. Jonas Blix nine. And Henrik Stenson 10th.
World rankings?
The world rankings are thus. Adam Scott is the world number one, and he will be for the second week in a row because of his win at Colonial. And he again looked like missing the cut, and had he done that or not finished high up on the final day, if he wasn't inside the top 13 the final day, he would have lost his ranking to Henrik Stenson. Adam Scott won. Brilliant performance from him. Stenson second, Tiger Woods third, Matt Kuchar fourth, Bubba Watson fifth, Rory McIlroy, big leap into the top six. Then it's Jason Day seven, Sergio Garcia eight, Justin Rose nine, and Jordan Spieth 10.
And to wrap up our top tens, Ryder Cup standings.
The Ryder Cup standings. It's four from the race to Dubai, followed by five from the world rankings. So the four that get in from the race to Dubai are Victor Dubuisson, Jamie Donaldson, Thomas Bjorn, and Henrik Stenson. And in the world points list, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia, Luke Donald, Justin Rose, and Martin Kaymer. They are your automatic nine.
Just a few bits of news to give you before we look ahead to this week's event, the Nordea Masters in Sweden. Congratulations to the world number one, Adam Scott. As Rob has already explained, he won the Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial. He beat the American Jason Duffner in a playoff. A terrific performance, as you've mentioned, Rob, because at one stage it looked like he might not make the weekend.
Do you know, the scoring was so crammed. I think there were 36 players within four shots of the lead going into the final round. And literally, if you drop one shot, you jump back 10 spots. You know, one bogey at the wrong time for Adam Scott, he would drop out of fourth and drop out the world number one spot. However, he went the other way. He came forward at the end and snatched it in a playoff. Not only did he consolidate his position at the top, he now has a career Texas Slam. He's won all four events that are in Texas. So, you know, that's a nice little trinket. And for, you know, one of the best swingers and ball strikers in the world to win at Colonial.
Ryder Cup hero and eight-time European Tour Order of Merit winner Colin Montgomery has won the US Senior PGA Championship in Michigan. The 50-year-old Scott finished 13 under par to beat Tom Watson by four shots, securing his first win on US soil. Didn't manage to win a major in his regular tour playing days, but he's got a senior major.
Yeah, he's got a senior major. He's got his first win after all these years on American soil, first stroke play win. And I tell you what, Monty was showboating. I doubt if he'd play better throughout all his years as he did in that final round.
And there's a new name at the top of the fantasy race to Dubai standings, Rob.
Yes, Rudy Perdon. Well done, Rudy.
Well done to Rudy. Get to europeantour.com to get involved in the fantasy race to Dubai. It's a lot of fun, and all the details are on the website. On to the European Tour proper, which heads to Sweden this week for the Nordea Masters. Rob, tell us about this event.
You know, the tour loves going to Sweden, obviously. It's a new venue, a venue I haven't been to this year. So Ovi Selberg, who was one of the pioneers of Swedish golf on the European Tour, he runs that golf club. I think the players will be looking forward to going to Malmö. Great town. You get big crowds and a great atmosphere. People like going to Sweden.
The main Swede, of course, at the moment is world number two, Henrik Stenson, who returns to play at the event in his home country for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I haven't played since 2010. It's good to be back. It's always had a nice atmosphere here and a lot of familiar faces, and I'm surely quite popular out there in terms of signing and taking pictures. I don't think I've ever been that busy on a Wednesday, so we're getting the attention, that's for sure.
And I take it there are signs in recent weeks that the game is coming back, at least a good finish in China, good performance here and there.
Yeah, I'm not totally disappointed with where I'm at with my game. I had my best putting week of the year at Sawgrass, so that was positive. It's been very average, I guess, and a little bit low on energy and very busy off the golf course. So we're just trying to balance everything and get it going again. So hopefully at some point.
Stenson is teeing up. Who else can we expect to see?
Well, Robert Karlsson, again, who's been a fantastic servant to Swedish golf, is teeing up in Sweden as well. Matteo Manassero, Simon Kahn, Alvaro Quiroz, Thomas Levay, Alex Levy, who won so well a few weeks ago. Very, very exciting young French player. Cañizares, Ross Fisher, Stevie G, Pablo Larrazábal, Thomas Bjorn, Victor Dubuisson, David Howell, Julian Ken. Yeah, it should be an interesting week, definitely.
Difficult to pick a winner. We've got no course form to go on, Rob, because they haven't played the Lakes course before in a competitive event, so we've got no archive to peruse. So when it comes to the tips, what are we going on?
Well, I should have mentioned a few more players. Cabrera Bay is playing, Paul Laurie's playing, Shane Lowry's playing, Peter Hansen's playing, Miguel Ankel Jimenez is playing. It's a very good field. So to actually pick a winner out of that lot, extremely difficult.
You're the man in form.
Yeah, and I picked Adam Scott as well for the dream double. I'm going to go for a man who his curve is on the rise again after playing some better stuff in Spain after finishing second last week. I'm going for Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry for Rob. I'm going to go for Francesco Molinari.
Yeah, I can see that as well.
Three top tens in his last four starts.
Yeah, I can see that. His consistency is there. Maybe he's going to throw up a result that we're not expecting, but we'll see how we get on because I was first your third last week and we'll see how Shane Lowry does against your Francesco Molinari.
Yes, indeed, we shall. Should be a good week in Sweden. That's it for now, though. We'll be back next week to look back in the Nordea Masters and we'll cast our eyes over the next event, the Lioness Open in Austria. So until next time, from me, Dan Roebuck, and him over there, Robert Lee.
I'm half Irish. I'm going fully bloody Irishman, Shane Lowry. Come on, Shane.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.